And we'll turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 14 tonight. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to read in verse 10. 10 through 14 tonight. We'll get another portrait, another person in Scripture. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, it's good for us to be able to open the word of God. And every time we do, we know you are ready to speak to us. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would do just that this evening. Help our hearts to be open and ready to receive your word. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So Pharaoh, we know the story. Pharaoh had finally let Israel leave Egypt, and they were on their way out after all the plagues had taken place and the Passover and that beautiful story. So they're on their way. They are headed toward the promised land. Things are going great for the Israelites and for Moses. And as the Lord directs Moses and the Israelites, he directs them to go east out of Egypt and then southeast, and they're headed right toward the Red Sea. So as they go out along a route that really isn't leading them exactly straight to the promised land, God gives them specific instructions about where they're supposed to camp. So they travel and they camp right where the Lord tells them to, by the sea. All right, so the Red Sea is right in front of them, and then we know that the Lord tells Moses that Pharaoh's on his way. Right, Pharaoh and the Egyptian army are now pursuing after Israel. And so this is the situation that they're in. And Israel looks and they see the Red Sea in front of them, and then they find out that Pharaoh's army is coming behind them. And they're not stupid. They can see the situation that they're in. Right? They can see exactly all that's taking place, and that God has delivered them from Egypt and from their captivity, but he's delivered them to a place that looks like they're going to die. Like, he brought them out of the wilderness to kill them, to allow Pharaoh to trap them in a specific place and to kill them. And for them, it's like this moment of fear and this moment of panic. And we read verse 11 and verse 12, the things that they're saying and the questions that they have, the confusion that's there and the doubt. And you can, like, it was this huge shift in how they had viewed the situation. Because they came out of Egypt going, wow, look what the Lord did, right? We're done with the Egyptians and God delivered us. And then it's like not long after that like they're at this place where it looks like, well, I guess we're not free. I guess we're not delivered. Looks like we just shifted locations and we're going to die here. And what's the difference between dying here and dying in Egypt? And maybe if we had stayed in Egypt, we would have been better off. And they're just terrified with all that's going on and what they're facing. And you can imagine being a father or a husband in that situation, and you're trying to protect your family and going, well, what are we going to do? Right? We can't fight them. We don't have anything. So here they were, and facing all of this terror and all of this fear. And then Moses gets up in verse 13. And Moses stands up before the people, and he tells them, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And Moses gets up before a terrified group of people, and he speaks with like incredible confidence. An incredible sense of security, even in this place of danger, in this place of their, will look like their imminent destruction. And that's what the people needed to see. Okay, they didn't need a leader that got up there and was shaking in his boots and go, I'm just as scared as you are, guys. Like, we're all terrified here. They needed a leader that could stand up before them and show them how confident he was in what God was doing. That's what they needed to see. And so tonight I want to see in Moses a portrait of security, a portrait of security. And for Moses, the security wasn't in who he was or what he could do. His security was in God. the God that had led them this far and that he knew would continue to lead them. And I think in our day and age, people need to see in us a sense of security because of our God, because of the God that we serve. There's a lot to be scared about today. You read any of the headlines, and it's like there's just one more thing to be worried about or to be afraid of. All the things that are going on in Ukraine, it just seems like more and more wars are popping up all across the world. Like there's politics that's reasons to be worried about the United States and all of those sort of things and the Supreme Court and all of that. There's health issues to be worried about, even on like a smaller scale. Like we can be worried about weather or traffic or just like even smaller things. There's a lot of things to be afraid of. And it is Christians, we have a wonderful opportunity to project a sense of security in God, to show the difference between those that trust in God and those that do not know God. And from a human standpoint, there is no end to what people can worry about. From a Christian perspective, there is no end to what we can be confident in God about. Because everything, right? In every part of life, in every conversation that we have, we can just be confident that we know God's in control. And Moses' security came from the fact that he knew that God had a plan, and he knew that God could then carry out that plan, and he knew that because he had talked with God about this. And our security is always going to be in who God is and what we know about God and that we trust God, because God does have a plan for us, right? Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. God's got a plan. When we look at our life, when we look at all the things that are going on, when we look at the world, in all of that, we say God's doing something and God knows exactly what he's doing. But also, Romans 8:28 is good because it assures us of like the purpose of God's plan, right? Because even villains have plans, right? Bank robbers, they go into the bank with a plan, I think, right? And maybe not a well thought out plan, but they at least got a plan. Right? Villains have their plans. But what Romans 8:28 tells us is that God plans things for our good. Right? And I think that's kind of important for us to know that and hold on to that. That in all the things God does for us, it's for our good. That's his purpose in all of that. And it's we need to understand also that it's our good as God knows it to be, because sometimes we're at odds with that, with what we think what good would be for us and what God thinks is good for us. Or knows is good for us are sometimes different things. Isaiah 55:9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, the Lord says, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. What God knows to be good for us is always better than what we think might be good for us. But that's where our security lies, in knowing that God has a plan, and that plan is the perfect plan for us. And so whatever happens in life, we just look at it and go, okay, I trust that God's plan is working exactly according to plan. And we can do that because we know that, like Moses, God can bring his plans to pass. God can do exactly what is necessary to accomplish that in our life. Many times we are stopped by our own inability. You know, how many times do we have to get a ladder for something because we're just not tall enough? As tall as you are, there's still times in life where you need to use a ladder, right? And sometimes it's like health things, injuries, whatever, that stop us from doing the things that we want to do. Sometimes it's financial concerns, right, where we just don't have enough money. We got to buy the cheaper option because we just don't have the money to spend on the expensive one. There's so many times in life where we are like compensating for our inability, where we're like, okay, I have to, you know, get help with this or find someone else who can do this, or I have to make this adjustment because I just don't have what I need to do this. Yet God never compensates for his inability. God never looks at our life and go, well, I was going to do that, but looks like we're going to have to change plans because I'm not able to do that. God is able to bring his plan to pass every single time. And even in the case of Israel and Moses, it wasn't that God was unable to do that. And that's what we see in Exodus chapter 14. It's just how able God was. But I want to go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's being arrested by the Pharisees and the soldiers there. And so here's what he says in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 53. Because Peter tries to defend him. And Peter says, well, if the Lord's not going to defend himself, I'm going to defend him. And in verse 53, Jesus said, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? And the Lord looked at Peter and said, it's not that I can't. It's not that I can't defend myself against these people. He says, if I wanted to, I could call all the angels of heaven, and it would not be a problem for me to deliver myself from this. It wasn't a matter of his inability or any weakness on the part of Jesus Christ. He would say in John chapter 10 that nobody takes his life from him. He was going to lay down his life. It was going to be a choice that he made. He wasn't going to die because he was not able to save himself. He died for us because that was his plan, and his plan was good, and he was strong enough to bring about that plan. So we have a sense of security because we know God has a plan. He can bring that plan about. But also it comes from, like Moses, the fact that we talk to God about it, like that we're in communication with God about what he's doing in our life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace and like that calmness, security, comes from when we've talked to God about this. When all our fears and all our worries, we've brought them to God and said, Lord, I trust you with all of this. This is what I'm worried about. These are my cares. We bring them to God, and he gives us this security, this reassurance that he's got it, that he's taking care of all of these things for us. And so we have this like foundation of security. One thing I wanted to mention that I think is probably the most foundational security that we have is our assurance of salvation, that we know that we're saved. 1 John 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Romans 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. John chapter 10 tells us that we're held in his hands, and nothing can change that. So there's this security that we have in our eternity, that our soul is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Nothing can change that. And then Paul says, listen, if God gave you his Son, how much more is he going to give you besides that? So we look and say that God has given us our salvation. He secures that. And then God takes care of everything else. So we have in our relationship with God all the security that we need. Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that means for us, if we know we're saved and we know God has a plan for our life, and we know that God can bring that plan about, and we've talked to God about that, that we can just rest in that, that we can be confident, have a security day by day, because we know who God is. We know what God has done and what God can do. So Moses is there, right, in Exodus chapter 14. Israel's not. They are scared. They're terrified. But Moses has been talking with God. And God has communicated to Moses that he is leading them somewhere, that he's going to bring them to the promised land. That's what God told Moses. Moses has seen all through the 10 plagues, the power of God, that God is able to do this, that nothing can stand in the way of God, that as great as Pharaoh seemed, as in control as Pharaoh seemed, that God was greater. So Moses knows all of this, and it's in that security and confidence that Moses stands up before the people. And there's two ways I want to see tonight that Moses demonstrated the security that he had, the security in knowing who God was. And I think for us, it's the same two ways we can show to the world that needs to see this, the world that is terrified of all that is going on, and even fellow believers sometimes that deal with worry, that we can show them that God is able to give us a confidence and a security that we can have. So two ways Moses demonstrated the security he had found in God. The first way, security is seen in the predictions that we make. It's seen in our predictions. So in verse 13, here's what Moses says to the people. He said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I think that's a pretty inspirational speech. You know, I would like to have heard Moses say it in real life to be able to stand there and hear him. But this is what leaders do, right? In times of conflict, they're the ones that get up and they just inspire the people, right? They instill confidence in their people no matter the odds they're facing. They just do that, you know? Here's a couple, there's a number from history. How many of you have heard Winston Churchill's "We Shall Fight on the Beaches" speech? Yeah, that was a pretty epic speech that he gave, I believe, on the radio in World War II. That one's pretty well known. Here's one that I hadn't heard before. Abraham Lincoln's speech to the Ohio Regiment in the Civil War. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just like one sentence. He said, "I beg you to remember this, not merely for my sake, but for yours. The nation is worth fighting for to secure such an inestimable jewel." Right? He said, hey, what we're doing is worth fighting for. Right? Go out to battle. What we're doing is worth it because this nation is so valuable. It's worth fighting for. Another one, British General Bernard Montgomery in World War II. He said, "Here we will stand and fight. There will be no further withdrawal. I have ordered that all plans and instructions dealing with further withdrawal are to be burned and at once. We will stand and fight here. If we can't stay here alive, then let us stay here dead." Whoa. He was like, we're not going anywhere. I've burned all the plans for our withdrawal. We're just going to fight. And we are going to fight till the very last man. Like, very inspirational. Like, there's no going back for us. But I think there's a difference between what Moses says and what all these other inspirational speeches were about. Because Moses' speech was not about them fighting. He tells them, he says, "Fear you not, stand still." He goes, just stand there. Like, you know, he wasn't inspiring them to like fight. He wasn't saying, "You pick up your, you know, your pitchforks and your rakes, and we'll go out there and we'll swing them at the Egyptians and see what we can do." He wasn't saying, "This here is where we die and we're going to die with honor." He's like, "No, you're not going to fight." It's because it wasn't about fighting. And also what we see in Moses' speech was that Moses knew how it was going to end. These other speeches, they were like, we'll do our best and we'll be brave and maybe we'll die, maybe we'll live. Moses knew. He was like, yeah, the Lord's going to take care of it. It wasn't a, let's see what we can do. Let's see how well this thing can end. It was Moses looking at the people of Israel saying, God's going to take care of it. He says, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He says, the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. He's like, take a picture because this is the last you're going to see of these Egyptians. You will not see them again ever. And he was so confident in predicting the end of this scenario, the end of this battle. God was going to take care of it. They weren't going to have to do anything. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God was going to destroy the Egyptians and take care of it for them. Moses, in his speech, made a prediction. He predicted exactly how it was going to end. And how we talk about circumstances and situations in our life matters. It matters to us how we talk about them. And it also matters to the people that hear us because it communicates like an outlook and a perspective on the things that we're going through. And also it communicates an outlook and a perspective on who our God is. And we need to be showing by how we talk about things that we believe God is in control. That the situation we're going through is in God's hands. We really need to communicate to that to everyone around us. Go with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Paul is on his way to Rome. And he's on a ship and the storm comes up. And it's threatening the ship and threatening then the lives of everybody that's on this ship. And they've tried their best to secure the ship. They've wrapped ropes around the ship. They have to hold it together. They've tried to throw everything overboard, but like nothing has helped. So they're facing the destruction of their ship and possibly their death as well. And in Acts chapter 27 and verse 25... part of what Paul says is he looks at him and says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul had told them that nobody was going to die in this shipwreck, that God was going to spare all of them. And then he says, listen, you can be of good cheer. You don't have to be worried. He says, because it's going to be exactly how God told me it would happen. He said, it's just going to happen how God told me. And in this storm, with the rain and the wind and the waves, and maybe there's Paul having to shout to be heard among all of this, there's these terrified crewmen, and then there's Paul, who says, listen, you don't have to be afraid. God has told me exactly what's going to happen, and I trust God. And when we talk about the trials and the difficulties of life, when we talk about the work that we're doing, the circumstances, the things that have happened, what's our prediction that we give as we talk about those things? Now, we don't know everything that's going to happen, right? We don't know how everything is going to play out, but we can make some real Bible-based predictions. We can say things like, well, God will take care of me, or God knows exactly what's ahead, or it's in God's hands and he's perfect, or God is strong enough, God is able to do this. We can talk about a situation with a real faith and a real sense of security that while there's a lot we don't know, there's some things that we just hold on to, that God's got this, that God is in control and that God is able. And if we're constantly communicating a real pessimistic outlook on life, it's communicating something about what we believe about God. It's communicating a lack of faith. It's communicating that we have questions about the God that we talk about and the God that we say is so great in the good times. But all of a sudden, in the difficult times, now it seems like we're not so sure about him anymore. If we're constantly having a pessimistic and an outlook where we think like everything could be ruined, we're communicating something about God. And we have a wonderful opportunity, especially in the bad times in life, to just show people how secure we are, that we know who our God is. We know what he's done and we know what he can do. And we know all the things that he's told us in the Word of God. And we can show that. We can demonstrate that. So security is seen in our predictions. But then secondly, and if we go back to Exodus chapter 15 this time, security is also seen in our praise. It's seen in our predictions. And lastly, it's seen in our praise. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1 is the song of Moses and Israel after God parts the Red Sea and after the Egyptians go through and then God closes the Red Sea on them and takes care of the whole situation and delivers them across the Red Sea. In Exodus 15 and verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. The song continues on. I'm not going to read the whole thing this evening. But how do we talk about the past? Right, we've already talked about how we talk about kind of the present and the future in our predictions, but how do we talk about the things that have already happened to us? For us, it has to start with us recognizing what God has done, recognizing that God has worked in our past. Do you remember when David was about to fight Goliath and he's talking with Saul about all of this and trying to convince Saul to let him go fight Goliath, and David brings up like an encounter in his past where he had to fight both a lion and a bear defending his sheep. And David describes the actions. He describes the battle that took place. He said, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. But then he comes to a conclusion 2 verses later where he says, the Lord delivered me. So he spends time talking about like the details. And when we talk about our past, that's what we do too, right? We try and get the details right, make a good story, you know. And if you've ever heard professional storytellers, man, they're incredible. Like how they weave a story and how they tell it and like the details and like their facial expressions and all of that. And we try and do that. Maybe not as good as professionals. But you know, to tell a story from the past, you've got to get all the details in there. And David does that. Talks about grabbing the lion by the beard and then smiting it and all of those things, right? That's one half of the story that we tell, is all the details, the things that took place. The other half is what David ends with, which is, this is how the Lord worked. This is where I saw God work. This is what God did in all of that. And sometimes we make sure we focus on the one, on the details. But as Christians, we've got to make sure that we're communicating the second part, that God did something. Because that's the value, really, in our the stories of our past, is what God has done for us. That's the blessing that's there, is that we look back and see all the things that God has done. If all we talk about is what we've done or what someone else has done, it doesn't really do anything to encourage someone else, right? Let's say I'm struggling with golf. I don't play golf anymore. Let's say I'm struggling with like being able to hit the ball straight. And you tell me about how you are able to hit the golf ball 300 yards straight as an arrow. You're like, yeah, I can do it. You're like, yeah, I just get up there and I hit the ball and I'm sitting there going, this is not helping me at all, right? The fact that you are like a super athlete at golf and you're able to crush this ball, like what does that do at all for me? All it does is highlight the difference between what you can do and what I cannot do. If anything, it's going to make me feel worse, right? But if we, when we talk about our past, if as we go through all the details, if we can find something that we have in common and talk about that, that's where the encouragement lies. And what do we have in common with us and other Christians? We have the same God in common, right? And when we talk about those things, that's where the blessing lies. Not in the fact that, hey, I'm not struggling anymore while you're still struggling. The blessing is the God who helped me is the same God that you have. And all of a sudden we find this commonality that really can give to them the same sense of security that we have when we look back, because we're pointing them not to us. We're not highlighting the vast differences between where we are now and where they are currently. What we're highlighting is that we serve the same God. And the same God who was great in my past can be great in your present and in your future. And we all have the same promises of God. Philippians 4:13, we all have this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We all have 1 John 4 and verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. We'll make a way to escape that temptation. When we talk about what God has done, and we make sure to highlight that, God's part in that, that's encouraging. That's encouraging to the believers who need to hear that. Because it's no longer about who we are and our differences, it's about what we have in common. That the same God that enabled us, the same God that worked in us, is the same God that can do it for them. And we read about, in Scripture, about people who did great things for God. We read about Peter and Paul and Moses in the Old Testament and all these people. We don't have to look at these people in Scripture and find ways that we're like them, right? And compare ourselves to them. We don't have to say, well, you know, I'm kind of like Moses, you know? I've got a bit of a temper sometimes, you know, and whatever, right? Or I'm kind of like Peter, and or I'm more like Paul, and therefore that I can, that's kind of the level I can rise to. It's not about like comparing ourselves to the personalities or the abilities of people in Scripture. That's not the blessing of studying people in Scripture. The blessing is that we have the same God who did things for Moses, that gave Moses the confidence to stand before Israel with a guy who's worried about the way he talks and all of that. The same God who worked in Moses, the same God who works in all of us, the same God who did a work in the life of David and all the other men and women of Scripture is the same God that we have. And when we talk about our lives, we have that opportunity to share that, to talk about the praise of our past and say it's not about us. It was always about God. So it doesn't matter about who you are. It matters the God that you trust in. So here's Moses, back in Exodus chapter 14 and 15. A portrait of security. Confident in God. Confident enough to stand up in front of Israel and give this prediction about how the battle was going to go and what God was going to do. Confident enough later to praise God and to highlight how great God was in all that he had done. The people around us need to see the security of our faith in Jesus Christ. Whether they're saved or unsaved, that's what they need to know, is how great God is by the things that we say, by how we talk about right now in our life, by how we talk about the past, they need to see the greatness of God in that. If you were to go on a flight, to catch a flight, maybe headed to Florida, right? Though maybe they're starting to come back this way now, I don't know. But so you're on a flight, right? You get up there to cruising altitude, and all of a sudden you start to feel turbulence, right? Which I think it's like every person's nightmare. Nobody's like, yeah, turbulence. Where I was like, oh, I hope I don't throw up. Where's the bag? And you're all worried about that, right? So you start to feel turbulence, which we've probably all felt before, but all of a sudden you start to feel like more turbulence than you've ever felt before, like a worrying amount of turbulence. And you start to hear people get nervous around you, like babies start crying. You can tell people are panicking a little bit. They're like holding on for dear life. They're like grabbing loved ones and all of that. And then the things drop, right? The little air things, right? The respirators you're supposed to put on yourself first and then others, right? All of a sudden those things drop and all of a sudden people are like terrified. And you have like the guy next to you goes, yeah, we're going to crash, right? He's like the pessimist. We're going down. There's another person you see, they're in the crash position. They're like hugging their knees and all of this. And you can just tell the whole plane is panicked. And then all of a sudden you hear the pilot come on over the intercom. And he says, listen, we're going through a bit of a storm. I know there's a bunch of turbulence, but he says, we'll be fine. He says, the plane is built to withstand this. The plane is fine. We're going to get you there safely. He says, it's going to be a bumpy ride, but you're not in any danger. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, he knows what he's talking about, right? I can trust the pilot because I may not be able to trust this guy next to me who thinks we're going down, or that guy over there is panicking, but I can trust the pilot, right? He's been through this before. He knows about turbulence. He's studied planes, I hope, right? He knows what he's doing. You take it from someone who knows what they're talking about. As Christians, we should know what we're talking about when it comes to security, when it comes to peace, when it comes to faith, when it comes to confidence. Of all people, we should know what we're talking about. And we should be that voice who looks at anybody who's afraid, says, listen, relax. God's in control. God knows what he's doing. God's got this. He has a plan, and his plan is great. His plan is the best plan for you. And the God who planned it is the God who can bring it to pass. And I know this because I've talked to him. I've heard what he said. I've been praying, and I know who God is. We need to be that voice. Because they're not hearing it from people who aren't saved. They're not hearing it from the media. They're not even hearing it from themselves. They're going to hear it from someone who knows God. And we need to be that person who's able to communicate that to them. So my question is, how can God use you this week to help someone else? You're going to come across someone who's struggling with something, because everybody is. You're going to come across someone who maybe they don't even show it, but they're afraid on the inside and they're worried about something. And just by the conversation you have with them, you have an opportunity to show them who God is. And maybe it's God can use that to really draw them to himself. Maybe they're not saved and they don't know God. And God can use that conversation to show them how great God can be in their life. Maybe it's a believer who's just struggling for a moment, right? Just having a moment of insecurity and a moment of weakness, and we've all been there. And maybe it's just that conversation you're able to have to not point them to who you are and what you did, but just to point them to God and what God can do in their life, and that they need to just get back to trusting God. God can use us this week. But if all we talk about is how afraid we are, and if we're just really pessimistic and down on life and discouraged, we're going to have the exact opposite effect on someone, when really we have the chance to show how great God is. Our security glorifies God. If we really just walk around in simple faith, confident in who God is, secure in what he's able to do and what he can do, that glorifies and exalts the name of God, first in our life, but then in the lives of everybody that we communicate with. But if we have the opposite effect, then it really lowers the name of God in people's eyes. So here's Moses facing the Red Sea, facing an angry Egyptian army, facing a people that were terrified, scared for their lives. And he was just this portrait of security. He stood up before them and said, listen, stand still. Don't be afraid. See the salvation of the Lord. He goes, these Egyptians, you're not going to see them again. He says, don't worry, God's in control. And what an opportunity we have, because we know God. We know the word of God. We know what God has said. We know what God has done. And we can go out there and show how great God is by the security that we show in our life. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for how secure we can be, the confidence that we can have because of who you are. And Lord, what a great opportunity we'll have this week to show who you are. So Lord, we pray that tonight you would work in our hearts a real confidence and a security in who you are. Lord, if we're dealing with struggles and fears and doubts, we pray that you'd help us to get in your word, find out who you are, remind ourselves that we can trust in you. And then we pray that you would help us to go out from this place and to just radiate confidence and security, not in who we are, but in who you are. Lord, we pray that you would help us this week to help someone else, to really be an encouragement and a blessing or a testimony to the people that are around us. And we'll thank you for the opportunities that you give us and the way you use us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.